Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 41, and it's a Monday, March 6, 2017. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Yes, welcome everyone. And this is a show where we talk about gay topics, bizarre news, and geek stories. I hope you guys enjoy it, because we've been doing this for, I don't know, more than a year now? A little more than a year.
Yeah. And tonight is a show of the top 10, apparently.
Yes, top 10s. And Ray knows how I feel about lists, but if they're pretty fun, then I guess we'll make it fun, right?
I picked two very fun lists, Maynard.
All right. Okay.
One's talking about sex and one's talking about crazy. So you can't beat that.
All right.
And if it's crazy sex, it's even better.
We'll take it. Okay. All right. So before we go through our stories, what's up with you, Ray? Let's do some quick and updates.
Well, I tried out a joint here in Houston called the Biscuit Junkie.
A joint?
Well, it's a restaurant. It's a breakfast place, okay. Brunch place called the Biscuit Junkie. Did not.
All right.
It was okay. I wasn't impressed.
Wait, did they serve like Southern style biscuits and gravy and stuff?
Well, they serve biscuit. Everything's kind of come as a biscuit type deal, but I wasn't that impressed with anything. Hmm. I mean, you walked in, there was nobody to wait on you. You went up to an iPad. You stood in line, walked up to the iPad, and you put your order in, and then people started screaming your name, and you had to go get your food. And the place, I mean, I guess people like it because it was packed. And there's a bunch of hoochies up in there at 10 o'clock in the morning with their 6-inch stilettos on, walking around, clicking all over the place.
So it just went like automated, huh?
Well, everything went automated. It was very impersonal to me.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's very a millennial place because there's a lot of millennials there, and I think they'd get into that not having to talk to people. So,
did you have to pay using Apple Pay? I guess you can because you're facing an iPad.
Yeah, you can do Apple Pay or whatever, but I just use my credit. There's a little thing that swipes credit card.
Oh, okay.
And there's a big sign on the door, no cash, credit only, which I didn't think businesses could do that. I think you had to accept cash.
Well, I guess I would imagine, well, the other way around it is cash only, no credit. There are restaurants who are like that.
Yeah, so but here's the deal. Cash is the currency of the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm.
So you're refusing
to. So is credit.
Still.
Well, I still think it's illegal. You think so? I think it's okay. I mean, if you don't like the usual thing, if you don't like their business, then don't go there. But I'm intrigued now. So, okay, next time I'm going to try that Biscuit Junkie. Where is it?
Yeah, it's down in Montrose.
Oh, okay. Next time I'll try it out. Yeah. So what else did we do? Oh, you and I went to watch Logan last weekend.
Yep. Loved it.
So
I cried.
I liked it a lot, too. I didn't cry, but I liked it, Maynard, because
you were over there crying. I saw the tears. You were sitting right
I
next
did
to
not cry much.
He was crying.
But it was good. It's a good movie about, you know, Logan. The only people who I know who had powers there. Well, probably the kids. And, of course, Logan, you know, Wolverine and Professor Xavier. Yeah, so it was pretty intriguing. I didn't know that Professor Xavier can talk to animals. I didn't know he can do that.
Hmm? He's a telepath. He can control any mind.
Any mind, but I don't know about horses. He's like, so if he's swimming in a pool, he can talk to fish like Aquaman?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. He's better than Aquaman.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, okay. So that was pretty good. It didn't go to you.
I got a question. If anybody's watched the movie, email us or call us and leave us a voice message. What is the thing that Professor Xavier did at Westchester? It was like that thing. He's like, I did it, and I caused all the mutants to go away, or whatever he did that ended mutant kind in the U.S. That's what I want to know. What happened? Because it was touched on, and then it was never like, what in the hell did he do?
That's a good question. I have to,
and I haven't read the. I don't remember reading the graphic novel. Oh, I remember hearing about it. Or remember flipping through it at a comic book store one time, but I don't remember reading the whole thing, and I don't have it, so I don't know. So somebody has to tell us what Professor X did.
Oh, you know what we can do? Oh, I don't know if there's a Wikipedia for it already. If there is,
I'm
one
sure
already,
there is. But and then people, but I'd rather have our fans already tell us, because
yeah,
so
we can hear from them.
So and then after last, Logan, you and Mike went home.
Yeah, we went home. We just watched Nocturnal Animals. Have you seen it? Starring Jake Gyllenhaal and Amy Adams. It's pretty fucked up. Oh my god, the way it's the movie was made. It's really a psychological thriller thing, and it was good acting, I guess. Yeah. And Amy Adams is not her usual self that I remember her doing in Arrival. Yeah. And we did see we did watch Arrival also. That was good.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So
and then Sunday we were together.
But wait, Saturday how was the game night? Oh, what happened Saturday night after the movie?
Maynard, are you there?
I lost you for a second.
Oh, no, you're back now.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, you lost.
Okay.
See, he loses me all the time. He won't keep up with me.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
No, we went to game night afterward, and it was a very small game night because I was supposed to be bringing somebody with me to see Logan, and then they had to work.
Uh-huh. That's right.
So,
and Mike and I didn't really plan it. I mean, I would have to spend some time with Mike.
You could spend time with him with Martin and Juan and Julio and myself.
Uh-huh.
And somebody else could have gave Julio grief because he was cheating all night long.
Oh, he was cheating? Okay. Tell him to listen to this. So, what did we do? We just watched some movies. Oh, we hung out with our friends Shahram and Jaime that Friday night. Not Saturday night, but Friday night. We hung out with them, and then we just... he showed us a pic.
So did y'all get
they
the
were
slide?
In the cruise last week.
Did you
hear about that?
The slideshow? Well, yeah, my roommates was on the same cruise with them.
It is true. But the point is, Shahram had one of the pictures that went viral on Facebook because his balls were hanging out. You know, when you squat down, and take a, and, you know, people just take a picture of you randomly, and then just so happened his part of his ball was showing. So oh my god, your balls are showing! Everybody,
I did not see that on Facebook.
I'm sure you don't.
But Sharam's pretty much friends with everybody on Facebook, so it's hard for it not to go viral. So.
Oh, yeah. Everybody saw it. All his friends. Hundreds of people commented about it already. Yeah. Also, welcome to Alan and Darren, because they're in town. They are from our friends from Singapore/Australia. We had dim sum with them last Sunday, right?
Yep, we had dim sum. The three-hour dim sum.
It was a three-hour dim. I kind of expected it because you have a big group like that, people who haven't seen each other and who haven't...
I didn't realize all those people were coming. I'm like, who are all these people? So I was like, anyway, so...
Yeah.
The Dr. McDreamy's first dim sum, so he enjoyed it.
Oh, okay, that's good. It's good for him. He got to try Asian cuisine, kind of authentic, I guess it is.
Yeah, and y'all didn't freak him out too much.
Yep. Tried not to.
Yeah.
I didn't bring up stories about you too much.
There's no stories to bring up.
Right.
My closet is clean. I came out and it's clean.
I thought there was some skeletons out there.
It's all in the past. All in
the
past.
Right.
So, and then y'all took off and went shopping.
Oh, yeah, we did go shopping. Yeah, we went to Galleria just to go shopping. And oh, my God. I went to Galleria and just saw some... Was it Robert something? I forgot the names, but expensive shirts like $160. I wouldn't buy a $160 shirt. Good Lord. It's just so expensive. I'd probably go to the 65% markdown shirts at Macy's. I'm good with that.
Yeah. So.
How about you? You went foot massage?
I went and got a foot massage, yeah. It was nice. Mm-hmm. My little Korean guy gave me the foot massage, the same one that massaged me the last time we went.
Oh, okay, that's good. You did find it then, beside the Filipino restaurant.
Yeah, I just got turned around. I figured it out. So, well, you ready to move on to our stories?
All right, let's go to our gay story. Okay, I like this story.
Do you want to do the first gay, and I'll do the second gay?
Okay, I'll do the first gay. First gay is Beauty and the Beast. Features Disney's first gay subplot. I am looking
Well, it's the official first gay subplot.
Yeah, that's true. But the point is...
All the Disney movies are a little gay.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So Beauty and the Beast has a very, you know, good, you know, it has a soft part in my heart for the longest time because I've always liked the, you know, the movie, the TV show. No, the movie that came out, the animated movie back in the 80s or 90s. Oh, I really loved that. I watched it so many times when I was still in the Philippines and really liked it because, you know, Beauty and the Beast, I like the story and everything. So here's the story about the gay subplot. So Disney's live-action reboot of the 1991 animated classic Beauty and the Beast is a few weeks away, and so far, buzz around the film is unprecedented. The movie's first trailer smashed records. Just the trailer. Guys, it's just the trailer, okay? The movie's first trailer smashed records and garnered 127.6 million views in its first 24 hours. The remake includes many of the songs for the original film, but director Bill Condon admits he freshened the storyline. According to Condon, the film features an exclusively gay moment. So earlier this week, the studio released a teaser of Josh Gad's Le Fou singing Gaston and its epic
Gaston.
In the scene, Le Fou sings about questioning his feelings for Gaston, played by Luke Evans.
Who's gay.
In case you're curious, Evans, who happens to be gay, fills out Gaston's trousers flawlessly. Condon told Attitude magazine, Le Fou is somebody who on one day wants to be Gaston and on another day wants to kiss Gaston. It's very gay.
To be Gaston, to want to... I don't forget how the song goes now. I used to remember it. It goes to be Gaston, to touch Gaston. So it'll be interesting to see.
He continued, he's confused about what he wants. It's sometimes... it's somebody who's just realizing that he has these feelings. And Josh makes something really subtle and delicious out of it. And that's what has its payoff at the end, which I don't want to give away. This is an article from, where was this from? But it is a nice exclusive gay moment in a Disney movie. Although everyone knows Le Fou wants Gaston's nuts. This is the first time Disney officially included a queer character in a major motion picture. Ready to experience the beautiful love story ever told? Reserve your tickets ASAP. Beauty and the Beast hits the theaters on March 17. I'm looking forward to this. It's really nice. So, I don't know. For some reason, when I was young, watching Gaston, I kind of thought, you know, he's a hairy-chested muscle guy. I kind of thought he was kind of a bearish guy, you know, clean shaped.
Muscle bear.
He's a muscle bear. Yeah, so I guess Le Fou really wants his nuts. I could see that.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the next gay rhyme.
All right, we got a top 10 list here. Top 10 cars for sex as told by gay men. Believe it or not, people still having sex in cars is still an American pastime. In fact, a recent study published in the Journal of Sex Research suggests that 61% of men and 58% of women have at some point engaged in some type of car sex during their lifetime. So, given the findings, they were wondering which worked out best for gay men. So, here's the list that the gay men came back with on their sex survey. So, and y'all let us know what y'all think. Some of these cars, I'm like, only twinks could be having sex in these. That's the only way it's going to work because no bears can fit in some of these cars. So,
it's really small.
Yeah. Number 10 is a Fiat 124 Spider. It was named European Gay Car of the Year, as mentioned in Auto Revolution Online. This may have something to do with the vehicle style, which requires very close proximity when seated with a passenger. It's also close to ground, which makes open windows hip level when someone's standing outside. So you can do a drive-by, blow and go.
Okay.
So, and one of the quotes that came back for the Spider is... Elton from the West Coast Chairs. Great car for quick servicing. You don't even have to get out of the car. Just roll down the window. It's like an oil drop. Oh, it is like an oil drop through. Love it. So, you know, I was joking about that originally. So,
okay.
And here's number 9, an American muscle car, the Dodge Charger. The cars first rolled out in 1964. Many of our readers shared some of their first gay experiences happening in various versions of this car over the decades. For some reason, the late 60s models were really popular for hooking up among gay men. Maybe it's because the Chargers made during that time period were extra spacious in the front and the back. You can do everything in that car from oral to topping. It had a huge interior, said Mike from Seattle.
Oral to topping?
Yeah.
Wow.
They were big cars. I mean, you could almost, they're as wide as a couch. You could almost completely lay down on the back seat. So,
yeah.
So they're pretty big cars. So now this one, I find it hard to believe. This must be like gay midgets in this car. Number 8's the Mini Cooper.
How do you even do it in a Mini Cooper?
I've seen some bears in the Mini Cooper, but they're all like all hunched up on top of each other. The Mini Cooper, or Mini for short, is another favorite of gay city dwellers. There's lots of functionality in this vehicle, not just getting your mojo on. It has a hatchback feature that is great for transporting, but if you want to hook up in it, we're told there's more than enough room. So I guess you got to have the hatchback version and let the seats down. Ben from Illinois shares, once you get to know the car's interior, you'll be pleasantly surprised at what's possible inside.
Okay, I do have a couple of friends. You know, the guys from Oh My Pod podcast.
Yeah.
They have... they're big Mini Cooper drivers. They really love their Mini Coopers, and they're big guys. Well, maybe
you should message them and get them to give their comments on this list.
Okay. So I'll probably ask him.
Yeah. Number 7 is a Chevy S10 pickup truck. There's just something manly about the Chevy S10 pickup, which is the little smaller midsize pickup truck, don't you think? Originally rolled out in 1982, this is a favorite vehicle of the outdoorsmen, straight and gay alike. It's changed over the years, going from a linear appearance to something more beveled, with a huge bed and back for hauling in more. The truck offers plenty of room for fun. Anthony from Atlanta tells us that he uses his vehicle to check out Piedmont Park on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And then number 6, we got the smart car.
Okay, this has got to be impossible.
Well,
okay, go ahead.
Popular with city gays, the smart car has it all. Not only is it compact and easy on the fuel, it's able to get into small spaces that other vehicles simply can't, kind of like me. Perfectly for hauling around groceries or parking in a tight spot at a local park. Although owners admit the interior space can sometimes present a challenge. Phil in New York tells us it's great for oral, but if you want to do more, better take the fun indoors. So you can get a blowjob.
Okay, so let me talk about smart car. I have a couple of friends who are from Austin, and they do have a smart car. And they are twice bigger than you, Ray, both of them. Well, they broke up already, but... this was many years ago. They actually bought a smart car. So imagine these two guys who are bigger than you, right? Twice than you. And they were driving in a small smart car. And I don't know if they would have sex in that one. I guess this is not really for bears, for big or chubs.
Well, that's what I said. Some of this stuff is for Twinkie boys, because bears can't. I don't see bears doing it in some of these cars. I didn't see them be able to get oral in some of these cars. So
I don't think so.
Number 5 is the lesbian mobile, the Subaru Outback.
Subaru's
Outback is lesbians who owns a Subaru out, and great for hooking up. This might have something to do with the car's real loading features, plus it's fuel efficient. There's also lots of room and size with bucket seats that recline. Jake from Denver tells us that he's done some serious business in his car along I-270 under the bridge. So, and I like the Subaru Outbacks. I've always thought maybe one day I will get one. So
I know a few lesbians who have one.
So, and I like them because they're full all-wheel drive, so you can go out and drive and get rough with them. So, mm-hmm. Number 4, the Ford Ranger. Gay men really seem to like the Ford Ranger. Maybe it's because the vehicle itself has a large presence. The Ford Ranger is not that big of a car truck. FYI, it used to be called the Ford F-Series pickup truck from 1965 to 1981. Then in 1992, the Ranger became the official name. When you look inside this powerful beast, you can see why guys like it. I always thought the Rangers were the small trucks back in the 80s, but it might be me. And they're decent-sized trucks, and they also have a bed that you can get in the back of. So Adam from Alaska told us that he likes his Ranger because it's a man magnet.
Adam from Arkansas. Yeah. So wait, did you ever own a truck before?
Yes. Oh, Arkansas. Did I say Alaska? Yeah, I did. Uh-huh. Yes, I used to have several trucks.
So, okay,
my first truck was a Chevy.
What was it, a Chevy?
Was it Chevy?
Oh, it's coming up soon. So this one's a man magnet. Do you consider yourself? I mean, okay, do you consider yourself a man magnet, Ray?
I think I'm a nut job magnet lately.
You're a boy magnet.
nut job magnet lately. So
do you think you having a truck before, you got laid more with your truck before than any
other car? Well, I had a Chevy truck, and then I switched down to a Saturn L series.
Oh, I remember
because I was driving for a long time. That's what I moved to Houston in. And then I went back to the truck, and I had back-to-back Tundras for 8 years.
Okay.
So I had those, and the Tundras were nice because the console in the middle pops up, so the whole front seat in them is open. So I got a couple of blowjobs at the Renaissance Festival in that truck.
Oh, hot.
Or in this truck. So they're pretty good. Okay. And they have a back seat that's big enough that you can do more if you want it to. So anyway.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, number three is the Chevy Impala.
Chevy Impala, isn't that a cop car?
Today it might be. But the Impalas used to be big old cars. They were kind of like Buicks. They were like couches on wheels. But they were nice looking. The next one I ever had an Impala, and it was huge. It was two-door. So, rolled out by GM in 1958, the Chevy Impala has been an American favorite for decades. The vehicle itself has gone through numerous changes over the years, transforming from symmetrical lines to more current, rounded look. The 1967 Impala, popularized in CW's Supernatural, are loved by gay men who are classic car collectors. Mike from Palm Springs shares, I have many fond memories of meeting guys in that car driving up and down Highway 1. All right, the number two car. And you can have a family in this car. The Lincoln Continental. These cars used to be boats. Lincoln Continentals used to be boats. And you could have a family of 12 in one of those things. They were so big.
Isn't this a van? What is
the Continental? The Lincoln? No, it's a Continental. It's a car.
Okay.
Now they're much smaller. Now they're not as big. They used to be land yachts. Did you ever watch The Lincoln Lawyer?
Nope.
Okay. That was a big car. This classic American car was first introduced to public back in many adaptations and changes in style. It became mega popular in the 60s because it was a freaking land yacht. Today, the car remains a favorite among auto consumers, land including yacht. Gay men. Currently, features include roomy seating and the option of tinted glass. A 2016 owner named Chris of this vehicle told us, I just love how comfortable it is, and the tinted glass is great to conceal what's going on inside. And guess what number one was, Maynard?
Now, this is a big SUV, right?
The Chevy Tahoe. It's got ho in it, so you know it's right. Hands down, this automobile was a real winner with gay men, offering a roomy front area with comfortable bucket seats. There's plenty of room to maneuver around, plus the spacious cargo area in case the back door action happens. Dale, a 34-year-old man from Dizzle, tells it is great because there's very few features in this vehicle to obstruct play. So
wait, very few features in the vehicle to obstruct. Oh, okay.
You can let the back seats down, and it gets pretty big.
Wow, you can actually do.
You can actually probably have a three or foursome in the back of the Tahoe.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so wow, that's a.
So what do y'all think? Do y'all have? Send us your stories of sex in cars, of what cars y'all had sex in, and what's the most interesting car, and how tight it was, and what was the most fun position. I know there's some boys out there that get out there and ride those, that used to, when manuals used to be popular, that get out there and ride that manual stick shift.
Mm-hmm.
When they didn't have a dildo, just ride the stick shift.
I don't think so. Hygienic.
I've seen videos.
What kind of videos do you watch? How dirty. Good God.
So.
Interesting. Okay, let's go to the Geek Ray. Oh, my God.
So, all right, this is all you, Maynard.
Go there. Okay, so this is important because here at Gay Geek Bazaar, we do try our best to not post fake news. We try to post news or articles, usually news, that we can comment on, and then it's going to be, it's because this is pretty much a commentary show. So there was a problem last year about fake news. It was there was a lot of problems with fake news with, especially in Facebook. During their elections. Okay, so here goes. Facebook now flags fake news. This is an article from Engadget. Okay, so after taking heat for months in the run, a run-up to the presidential elections, Facebook has been cracking down on fake news spreading through its social network. The company recently began using third-party fact-checkers and gave its users the ability to manually report fake news. Late last week, the company announced that it will soon include disputed labels for these false reports as well. hopefully when we post something on Gay Geek Bizarre, we don't get disputed too much. So Facebook originally promised to do this back in December, along with the fact checkers, curated articles, and manual flagging. Under this system, bogus posts from disreputable sites will still show up in your timeline, but they'll be accompanied by a small warning banner. These banners are applied after a lengthy vetting process. First, the fake post either has to be flagged by a certain number of users or the company's automated software. The post is then sent to a fact-checking website like Snopes or PolitiFact, where it is reviewed. If two or more fact-checkers flag it again, Facebook will apply the banner. Oh, I guess that helps. This process is time-sensitive, if nothing else. In a recent case reported by Gizmodo, a fake news post from a satirical entertainment website, which suggested that it was Trump's own Android phone that's responsible for the recent spate of leaks, remained unlabeled for nearly 5 days after being initially posted. And even when accurately labeled, noting that sometimes that something is disputed rather than false, does little to change the minds of people who already reject reporting by mainstream news source in favor of fringe conspiracy sites like InfoWars or Breitbart. So we'll have to wait and see if this new labeling scheme makes a difference in the tenor of discourse on Facebook's network, or whether it will be another bust like the site's crackdown on private gun sales. Honestly, Ray, I haven't seen this yet on Facebook. Have you seen these disputed sites already?
No, but I hope they get it rolled out. That way people won't be posting stuff and I post fake articles on Gay Geek Beyond, yeah. And then you and everybody screams at me. Even though it's a fun article to post and funny as hell sometimes, some of those articles are funny as shit to read.
Yeah.
So,
but, like,
but then Maynard gets all pissy with me. That's not a real story. I'm like, I know, Maynard, but it was funny as hell.
Yeah, but I don't know. I would post that on my Facebook page if something funny. But we try to.
I'm just trying to enrich the lives of our listeners. That's all I'm, and readers. Right. That's all I'm doing.
No, we enrich it, not the story. We enrich the story, the lives of our. Okay, so let's go to the bizarre. Let's go to the bizarre.
Okay, the bizarre is another list this week, but it's a helpful list.
Another list. Okay. All right. I said bizarre because it's about psychopaths.
Well, it's one of those bizarre things that you never think about when you're trying to date somebody. It's like, do you think your boyfriend's a psycho when you start dating them? I mean, no, but it's actually a pretty good list from what I read that gives you some pointers to make you think that your boyfriend could be a psychopath, or the person that you're going out with could potentially be a psychopath. So here's the top 10 signs your boyfriend is a psychopath. The first one, he'll initially charm your pants off. Psychopaths will move with the speed of lightning to sweep you off your feet. Their goal is to make you think you are the center of the universe with the hope of reeling you in. Psychopaths often mirror your hopes and dreams, make claims of shared interests, offer super flattering comments. I've fallen for this one.
Oh, really? Yeah. People charming you?
Yeah. Number two, exhibits crazy making behaviors. Psychopaths often deny their own toxic behaviors and will make you think you are the one with the problem. This has happened to me. Dismissive evidence that proves they lied. Blame you for their unacceptable behaviors without taking any responsibility. Will engage in activities to make you think they are nuts, like denying they said something when you just heard them say it. So, number three, makes you think they're in demand. For people who have psychopathic tendencies, there is an innate need to manipulate others into thinking people want them. When you get into a relationship with one of these, you may see them narcissistic comments to suggest others want them. I can't help it that people find me attractive. Or the comment I used to get, well, you know what? I'm too sexually energized for people not to find me attractive and want to be with me. Behaviors that demonstrate they have truly ended a previous relationship. They haven't truly ended a previous relationship. Few close friends, but lots of acquaintances who seem to want their attention. Yep, that's a big one. Number four, will shame you for feeling emotions they provoke. One of the cruelest things psychopaths do to their victims is engage in behaviors that provoke an emotional response. and then shame you for your feelings. Examples include giving you the silent treatment for days and then calling you needy. Flirt with other men in your presence and deny it. Afterwards, they call you jealous. Will call you offensive name when you're emotionally respond. They will call you crazy or hysterical. I've had this one.
That's kind of awful for a person to do. I mean,
well, it happens. Ugh. Pathological liars. One of the hallmarks of a psychopath is the pathological lying. In fact, they lie about almost everything. What's more, when you call them out on a lie, they would deny ever saying it. Examples. Well, say something 1 minute, and then when you bring it up to them, responds with, I never said that. You're crazy. Denies abusive behaviors towards you from the past. Rationalizing a lie by saying misunderstood. Will slowly erode your self-esteem.
Oh, wait, Ray. How about pathological? when sometimes the sentence works, here's the deal. You know, have you heard of that? Once it starts with that, then yeah. it's going to be an alternate fact.
Yeah. So, well, now I'm sure that what pathological is lying is saying, it's not, I'm not lying, it's an alternative fact. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Number six, will slowly erode your self-esteem. And this is they do this a lot. The confusing part about psychopaths is their yo-yo style approach to relationships. One day they will shower you with attention and kisses. Very true. The next day they will ignore you or use facial expressions to cut away at your self-esteem. Example statements. Should you really be eating that donut? Maybe if you exercise, you wouldn't be checking other guys. Will compliment the appearance of other men and ignore yours. So, number seven, makes you feel constantly anxious. Before connecting with a psychopath, you may have lived a calmer, more balanced life. Yes, I did. But after getting into a relationship with one of these types of people, the calmness gives way to extreme stress and anxiety. On many days, you will feel drained and emotionally depleted, unhinged, disconnected, empty, and tearful. Number eight, I've dated one that did this. Psychopaths often create a codependent dynamic where the person abandons close friendships that the victim once treasured. Their goal is to rob you of support systems and make you emotionally dependent on them. Examples, makes you feel guilty for spending time with friends or doing podcasts. Will offer unsolicited negative commentary about your interactions with family or best friend. May accuse you of cheating with one of your ex-boyfriends or best friend. Remember that one, Maynard? Does that ring a bell, Maynard? Okay.
I knew that.
Emotionally and sometimes physically abusive. True psychopaths never lash out when they become abusive. Instead, they carefully plan and execute how they wish to inflict pain on others. Most often, the abuse is emotional. On rare occasions, it's physical. And number 10, will exploit your weaknesses. Many psychopaths have a knack for identifying their victims' weaknesses and then exploiting them to gain advantage. Here are some examples. Will use your body image issues to shame you or make you feel unattractive. May use knowledge of your past trust issues to engage in hurtful behaviors, i.e. cheat on you because he knows how much it will hurt you. May encourage you to spend money you don't have and derail your financial goals or make you feel like, regardless of how much you contribute to the relationship financially, it's still not enough. So summing things up, if you're in a real shame with a psychopath and want to avoid being involved in one in the future, there's a great book you can consider. And this article is on the Gay Geek Bazaar webpage. So go check it out. There's links to other articles and stuff in it. So,
okay. I don't even know why this is still bizarre.
It's bizarre because these people are psychopaths and they're out there and they prey on people.
All right.
So,
okay.
Maynard, it was a slow news week, okay?
I know it's a slow news week. I really need to ramp up on putting in.
I know. If me and Caesar didn't have to carry all the weight all the time, I mean, gee.
I know. Because I already produced the show.
Oh,
I have
my
to record
God.
Everything.
There you go. I'm the producer.
Yeah.
I'm the podcast star. Oh my God.
I know. I just put them all together. You're the star because you're the one who people actually email. Hey, Ray. Dear Ray. Hello, Ray. Can I meet you, Ray? Oh, forget about Nard. Is Ray going to the Bear Run? Is he going to TBRU? That's what
I've already
get
been
from
asking
people.
Somebody messaged me yesterday from Canada. Are you going to TBRU?
There you go. See?
So, I'm sorry, Maynard. My light just shines so bright.
I know, that's right. Okay, so I guess that's the show.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Took a long time. Okay, so special thanks to Cesar for the great articles on facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. He's been posting there. Thank you for the articles. And yeah, sometimes Ray and I post there too. Okay, so also email us at show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or you can call and leave us a voicemail. Call and leave us a voicemail about your first sexual experience in a car. We would love to play
those. Yes, that's right.
So you can call us at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio.
Yes, and go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you guys for guys and gals, if there are gals listening there too. And we'll catch you guys on the next show. Bye.